Hello there, this is episode 54 of the Van Himlock Podcast, Protection.
Time of week again.
It is.
We're back for another show.
A summery Saturday afternoon. You can probably hear lawnmowers in the sound in the distance there.
And birds tweeting.
Birds tweeting. We get that every show.
Gunfire in the distance.
Yeah, shelling. Oh, with some news.
News. First up, bad news.
Bad news. Oh, I don't like it when you start with bad news. Go on then.
Sony's brilliant streak has ended.
Oh, yes. This was the big announcement during the week that Matrix Online is to be no more. Do we have some specific dates for the closure there?
Yeah, 31st of July this year.
So just running till the end of the month, letting everyone's subscription elapse, and then that's that, really.
Yeah. No. Well, Sony shut down again.
Well, yeah. I always thought with one thing and another, largely the access pass, I suppose, that pretty much all games that Sony were looking after were pretty much immune from closure. I mean, they've got some very marginal titles in their portfolio there. I'm thinking, of course, of Planetside. Yeah, although, well, perhaps Matrix had smaller numbers than Planetside. It's entirely possible. I remember at the end of my Auto Assault ramblings, when I had a quick look in there, there was literally 110 players in total at peak.
Wonder how many people are in this. I suspect that Planetside is more popular than it.
I think it probably is more popular than people think, yeah. But Matrix Online, clearly not so. It wasn't initially a Sony product, was it?
No, one
they sort of bought on board.
They brought on board when it all went wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to be saying kind things and having fond reminiscences about it, but we know one person who played Matrix Online, don't we?
And he's still bitter about the not being unsubscribed thing.
Yes. Well, two, I suppose, if you count last week's guest, but I think to Matt there must have dabbled with it as well.
Friend of
ours way back when it launched, I think possibly before Sony.
It was before Sony, yeah.
Yeah, and he couldn't unsubscribe without phoning them up and giving them a good reason why, which seemed a bit out of order. So that's about the only influence and contact and impressions I have of Matrix Online, I'm afraid. So,
well, not getting any more now then, are you?
No, I've missed my chance. Although I just like to have it on record, I Van Himlock, have never played Matrix Online, so this one is not my fault.
It is your fault from lack of support.
Oh, yeah, I can't win.
Okay, moving on to some better news, because that is actually quite depressing.
Okay, what else we got?
Crimecraft.
Okie dokie.
Yes, but in America, it's going to be sold exclusively by Best Buy.
Interesting.
Not sure what that means.
Yeah.
Get 2 months free play.
Uh-huh.
And a number of exclusive in-game items.
But if you can only buy it at Best Buy, then why do you get exclusive items from the only
That's
place you can
retail.
Buy it?
That's retail. It'll probably be available for download
right,
as well.
Digital and whatnot. Yeah, fair enough. So Crimecraft is a sort of APB kind of thing, is it? Open world, gun,
that sort of thing, yes. Sort of thing. Coming out on August the 25th.
Right, okay. What is next then? Because we'll come back
That's
to
That's a thing.
Yeah, that is probably the next thing up.
Yeah, because September the 1st, whenever it is now Champions.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that in the Twitter question, but yeah. Interesting.
Talking of Champions.
Yep.
In Atari's latest financial results.
Okay.
They say that they reckon, and I do not believe a word of this.
God, just deliver the news.
That the Xbox 360 version of Champions Online will be out this year.
Wow, so they may be the first for the 360 then with an MMO.
Apart from the two that have been there before.
Oh, hey, what?
Final Fantasy Star. Fantasy Star Online and
both
Final Fantasy.
Not for the 360. You see, I qualified it with 360 there.
They're for the 360?
They're for the 360. Yes. Oh, I really got to stop bluffing about consoles.
You have, yes.
Yeah. Carry on.
No, this will be the first new game for the 360 that isn't one of an existing product.
So, because the Final Fantasy and Fantasy Star Online, they're backward compatible previous releases of.
They are versions.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, you don't. Stop talking.
Righto, on you go.
Anyway, it's coming out this year, apparently.
Jolly good.
And they also say that Star Trek Online is going to be before March 2010, which is funny, really, because they've said the release date's in January. So, yes, that is before that. Of course, Champions have been delayed until September.
Right.
And
is that possibly to do with a console port? Or?
Nah, they just needed some time to do stuff.
General polish and things. Mm.
And they're also working on a series of new games based on Atari's existing and historically successful IPs.
Such as...
It could be.
I can't think of any off the top of my head, actually.
Yeah, that's just a damning indictment of your lack of experience with old Atari games.
Probably is. I was always an Amiga kid, to be honest.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Sony reckon they want to bring the PlayStation business to break-even level quickly.
That's always a good goal to aim at, yes.
But they're doing this through...
Step three profit.
They're doing this for other things, like, you know, bringing the PlayStation Network to be on other gadgets as well. Like, it could be on your phone, it could be on your TV.
Okay. Presumably there's more than just games available on this PlayStation Network.
Yeah. Sony have announced a new phone, even, that lets you stream media from your PS3 to the phone. You've already been able to do this with the PSP.
Right.
So if you've got a video file on your PS3... especially if it's a recorded digital TV using mm-hmm. the PlayStation's digital TV add-on.
That does sound clever, yeah.
And you can just stream it wherever you are on the planet.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and they'll have to cut the cost of the PS3, of course, but there's quite a lot of other ways they can make more cash through other content.
Right, the sort of microtransactions, your PS Home kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Talking of... video streaming?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see
a link. Yeah.
There's been a big announcement about the 360 this week.
Oh, okay.
American listeners can tune off now because you already have a similar thing.
I probably missed this.
But the 360 is getting Sky's player in the UK.
Sky's player.
So this is Sky, which is
replay tool.
Our Murdoch-based Fox equivalent.
Yes.
Satellite TV, uh-huh. Home of the Simpsons and Stargate. And
yeah. Which I don't get.
What else do they have?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Oh, 24.
I've only got Freeview, I'm afraid. So
they have free shows.
Yeah.
It's constant repeats of Stargate and Simpsons.
Fair enough.
But
you better get those on your 360.
The Sky Player is basically a web-based thing at the moment.
A bit
where
like
you
the
can
BBC's
watch
iPlayer, yeah. That kind of thing.
And I think
right.
The BBC content's on there as well.
Right.
I haven't actually used it, although I
And
can.
You'll now be able to view that via the 360?
Yeah.
We are sort of getting there with the whole universal entertainment system.
We're catching up with Netflix. We are going to get about 500 films through this, whereas Netflix is something like 100 billion.
Yeah, you're still quite bitter about that, aren't you?
Yeah. Netflix. I wanted to watch Brewster's Millions during the week.
What, no, just a sudden whim?
Yeah.
What, I want Brewster's Millions and I want it now.
Yeah.
What, the Richard Pryor?
Yeah, I wanted
one.
To check something.
Uh-huh.
And
it wasn't there?
No.
Right. Shocking.
Any other week, this would have been a damning good point for the system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So no, you can't just say that. What were you trying to find out?
I can't remember now.
Yes, there you go. That's your case for Netflix in the UK.
Yes. Sticking with the Xbox.
Yes.
And they've sold 30 million of them now.
30 million?
Yeah.
Woo!
That's a lot of Xboxes.
It's a lot of Xboxes, yeah. Each one would have gone for at least 120 quid or so.
Yeah, divide that by two for the people who've had to replace broken ones.
Well, yes. I don't want to ask you how many you're on to now.
27.
Yeah.
No, and they've had, more importantly, 20 million active members have been on Xbox Live.
Right, so 30 million sold, and 20, so that's two-thirds
yeah,
using two-thirds the online service.
Yeah, two-thirds of the online service,
excellent.
Which is actually a brilliant number.
Do the Xbox Live, does that count people on Windows using the Windows Live, do you think? Or is that purely Xbox connecting? Because it's the same service,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, but the number of people using the Windows one's probably negligible.
It probably is quite small, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
PlayStation, on the other hand, back in February had reached 21.3 million. So it's not doing too badly.
Yeah, everything to play for in this current console round, I suppose.
Unless you're the Wii.
Well, yeah.
It sold 26 million units last year alone.
Yeah, the Wii's well ahead.
It's
but
gone beyond 50.
So they're playing for second place, really, aren't we, at the moment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking with numbers,
yep.
13 million, more than three,
yep.
Xbox Live players have played Call of Duty 4.
Ah, out of 20 million using the service at all.
Yeah, that's a
that is
hell
impressive.
Of a conversion rate.
That's not bad, yeah, well done there.
And, of course, 13 million is quite a... People have been doing comparisons with that with WoW, of course. Only the difference with WoW is 13 is how many they currently have.
Yeah.
This is 13 in total.
Yeah, I don't know if it's perhaps apples and oranges you're making the comparison there. I'm not sure if an MMO is quite the same sort of thing as a deathmatch lobby
WoW has
service.
Still had loads more players than Call of Duty and Halo and everything.
Mm.
And, oh, finally in our roundup of console news.
Bored now.
Back to Final Fantasy XI.
Oh, gone then, yes.
It's coming to the PS3.
Oh, that's marvellous.
Yes.
That's really super. Sorry, I'm... I should probably care more.
No one's going to care because it's a really hard game to get into and average console gamer isn't going to.
Yeah.
If you like it, you would have got into it by now.
I suppose. It's not that new, is it? Well, they had in the way of new content and expansions lately. Anything?
Yes.
Right. Called your bluff there, have I?
I don't know.
No. Well, I'm going to bloody send you into Final Fantasy one of these weeks.
I've been in it before. I didn't understand it. It was scary.
Right. Fair enough. If you want a job doing, do it yourself, yeah. Can I get it for the Xbox One?
No, I don't think you can.
Well, that's that then. Never mind.
Yes. Okay, next, the results of Eve's third CSM elections are in.
Oh, blimey, third one.
Yeah.
Did I miss the second one? I remember voting on the first one because I was playing at the time.
I think you missed the second one.
I cast a vote for La Vista Vista there of the Eve, was it Warp Drive Active Business thing that they did? Warp Drive Active Industry, I think.
Yes. Wonder what happened to that.
So, more voting ahead?
Yep.
Whole new panel?
Yes, 9.7% of the players voted this time.
9.7, that's very low, actually. I thought it was a login screen thing, wasn't it? Certainly the first one I've ever seen.
It pointed you from the login screen, yeah.
Was it? Certainly everyone playing Eve will have been pointed at this thing. So, wondering what the excuse is. Yep. Do people just not really think the CSM does anything? Or is even noticeable?
Voting apathy.
Well, yeah, I'd be fascinated to know, actually, if any of our Eve listeners are listening and have opinions on why they'd vote and how perhaps they see the CSM. Do chip in on the comments. We might sort of revisit this in a future show.
Omazombie got re-elected.
Okay. So, that's the only name I recognise from the previous list, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying on that.
Fair enough.
Okay, Second Life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's going on in there?
Because we were doing sensible games for so long. They set up a group of test regions for the new three-way content rating system.
Oh, I saw this, yes. It's sort of... They could have done it in a more subtle manner, I think.
Electric fences, warning signs, barbed wire, floodlights.
Yes, it's all had something of the Guantanamo Bay feel to it, from what I gather.
An avatar approaches the fence, gets zapped, and comes away trailing smoke.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what this was meant to demonstrate. Perhaps the API tools that are provided to you through the scripting language to do stuff to people based on their account status, I think, and the status of the land.
Yeah.
way to sell the idea of adult only restrictions on content. Yeah. Zap people with electricity and set them on fire.
Yes. Best quote. So, which way are the showers?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moving swiftly on, I think.
Yeah.
No. What else is that? Oh, go on then. You got more on this?
No, I just...
Yeah. The mind boggles.
There's floodlights that track your movements when you get near. It's just...
Somewhat Orwellian, I think.
What were they thinking?
Mm.
Okay. We covered three rounds last week, didn't we?
Possibly, yeah.
Saying it hit 1 million people.
It was two, I think.
No, it's two this week.
Two this week, okay. Yeah. It was 1 million a week. That's quite a staggering rate.
By the time this comes out, it'll be three.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You know their guild levelling contest?
I sort of vaguely saw this. It seemed to attract a bit of derision, I think, possibly from some of the Kilton Rats people.
Kinghouse rent will be paid for a year for whichever guild can get a new character from 1 to 60 the fastest. The prizes for other measures, such as levelling the most characters having the highest average. And Zubon sums it up.
Yes.
I can't even comment.
Well, I'll give it a go. That's a stupid idea.
Again, what were they thinking?
Well, yeah, yeah. We'll give you a prize for running yourself out of our content as fast as possible. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, this is all very much the achievers versus the explorers, I suppose. You know, this is sort of mentality that some gamers just never going to understand and others will take for granted, I think. The idea is to get through it as fast as possible for some people. I'm just a little bit disappointed to hear it from the development team, though. Yeah. Oh, well.
It does seem a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, new game time.
Oh, new game. What we got?
Gamers First and Vae Victus have announced they're making a new game.
Right.
Victory, the Age of Racing.
A racing MMO?
Yes. 1960s Formula One racing MMO.
1960s. Oh, I suppose the glory days of the old Formula One, back when it was really dangerous and exotic and had that chic to it all, I suppose.
I don't think that's going to work as an MMO.
Well, it's almost certainly going to have to be instants, isn't it?
Yeah.
1,000 people all on the grid. That first corner will be a problem, but if you can get through there, you'll be all right.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
I don't know.
It's probably going to be a bit too...
Well, it'll probably be a fine enough racing game. I'm just wondering what it being an MMO would add to it that you couldn't get by just having a normal console-style racing game with eight players.
With a
players
lobby.
Or lobby. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's MMO for the sake of it, probably, but that's a rather...
We'll see.
...sweeping comment without having seen it.
Maybe they'll do something clever with leaderboards and so on. I expect it'll be a heavily instance Guild Wars-esque type of thing, though.
Talking about something for the sake of it. PlayStation Home.
You're on fire with the links today.
I am.
Excellent. Go on.
It's been downloaded 6.5 million times.
Well, everyone will want to have a look. Is it free to download?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, then.
Just to use.
This is very much, I think, like Free Realms 2 million. You know, a lot of people want to have a look, and they will all count.
I went in there during the week.
What, the PlayStation Home?
Yeah.
What? Whatever for?
To see.
Did you leave your keys behind from last time?
To see what it was like. Uh-huh. See what had changed. They've added some really bad mini games. And the people in there.
Are we going to have to go in for another field trip?
I had to go play Halo to hang out with some intelligent people who don't quite act so childish.
Wow. Setting a new bar.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right, piracy news.
Yes.
Spore has lost its mantle as the fastest downloaded game in recent history.
Oh, dear. So it's the new
Sims
most...
3 has...
Sims 3, God.
...have been downloaded, at the time of this writing, 200,000 times. 45,000 downloads a day.
Which is quite impressive, considering it's not actually out yet.
Yeah. And you know what?
Mm?
Doesn't have First Securum on it.
Doesn't?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Are you preempting my topic already?
Yep.
I'll come back to this, I think, in a minute. But
yeah, apparently the pirated copy is a pre-release version with lots missing.
Lots missing bugs, probably, as well. But then, you know, when released games tend to be quite buggy as well.
Then again, the leaked version of Wolverine, which was the pre-release version that wasn't finished, was.
It was finished.
It had none of the missing footage that they were saying that was in there.
Right.
Okay, some Eve news. We like Eve news.
Yeah, go for it.
We've got a couple of bits of Eve news.
We must play it again at some point.
I've been playing, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
We like Eve. They've a dev blog here from CCP announcing information about PvP ship losses.
Oh, right, that must be quite interesting. Okay, well, what about their numbers then?
First up, the two interesting and most important bits of numbers are very specific player numbers.
Oh.
This is paid account numbers.
Okay.
In April, end of April 2008, it was 234,314.
Quarter of a million customers, more or less, not bad.
And at the end of April this year, it was 299,000. And 64 active paying accounts.
More or less 300,000.
A couple of days later, they did their announcement for the 6th year anniversary, saying they'd passed 300.
So, not a huge amount of growth, I suppose, in the last year, but...
That's a large amount.
It is basically Eve's story, isn't it?
235 to 300 is quite a large amount.
70,000, I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
Compared to the fact that that was year 6, just started.
It's an old and busted game, I suppose, in many people's eyes, and yet still growing. It's been the story of EVE all along, though, hasn't it? I don't know if we trust the MMOG charts anymore. I know you're quite sceptical.
There's too many problems in them. Many numbers that I've been told that are just way out.
But certainly EVE showing a regular kind of growth... since year dot. And
well, CCP have come out and said regularly that they've hit certain numbers.
Yeah, it can all be tracked back.
Yeah. Basically,
well done. It's obviously something about EVE that encourages continued interest year in, year out. Well, could
it's
just
a good
be
game
that,
which keeps changing. In April of 2008, during that month, 0.61 ships were destroyed per paying account.
0.61. Oh, this is an average, right? Yeah, okay.
And
I've had 60% of my ship blown off.
And in April this year, it had gone up to 0.67.
Right.
So there's more death and destruction this year than there is last.
Right, I suppose just more people accumulating resources over that year.
More people fighting factional warfare, whatever.
Does that include the factional warfare, yeah. I suppose? Yeah.
It's basically just taken as any death which involved at least one enemy aggressor.
One other player?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one or more other players and as many NPCs as it takes.
Right, so 0.67, yeah.
Yeah, because of course the people out there who are losing loads of ships are balanced by the people who are losing none at all.
Yeah, there'll be lots of people who just never put themselves in that kind of situation.
I haven't lost a ship in ages.
Yeah, it's been a while since I have too, but then I'm not playing, so that's one way to avoid ship loss. Never undock.
They've done some graphs.
Graphs, go for it.
They like the graphs, and if I just hold this up to the microphone.
Yep, if you can all see that at home.
Yep, ooh, that's good, that one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just showing that since the last patch, the number of deaths has gone up.
Okay.
And how... That's boring. Here we go. The capital ships one's quite interesting.
Oh, okay.
Because it's basically...
These are massively significant items of player resource and time and effort.
But they're all just sort of wibbling along quite happily.
So just get a bit of context. Your basic, most easy to get capital ship is what? A carrier? Is that the entry-level sort of capital ship?
Dreadnought's probably slightly easier skill-wise, but Carrier has more use.
Okay, and
Dreadnought's
those...
very specific for taking down installations, pauses, and stuff.
Well, Carrier has all sorts of utility to it. Okay, and the average sort of entry-level price for each of those ships, ballpark figure?
Around a billion-ish.
A billion?
Billion and a bit, I think, at the moment.
Okay, a billion-isk, yeah.
1 billion.
Is that the American billion?
With a big B.
Yeah,
I think we've given up on the English billion.
I know.
It's all the American billion now.
I miss the billion, proper billion, million, million, billion. But all right, anyway.
Basically,
significant items that take a long time and a lot of people pulling together to make.
Awful of orcas being lost. And rorquals as well.
Those are your mining support ships.
Basically, it shows that everything's just on a general increase, except for dreadnoughts, which bounce all over the shop depending on... if there are large battles that month.
What's the sort of figures for the Dreadnought spike there? Is that sort of like one, then nothing, 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 one, two, nothing, nothing? Or is
hundreds.
It, hundreds?
Yeah, okay. Hundreds. It'll drop down from hundreds at one point. It hits down to 50 losses in 1 month, and then spikes the next month.
Oh, this is per month. So a good month is 50. No, 50 Dreadnoughts lost.
50 Dreadnoughts lost is one of the two lowest values.
Blimey, in a month.
Yeah, usually it's hundreds.
It's a vast amount of mining going on in mining production, etc., just to keep these things going. I mean, you cannot buy dreadnoughts off the NPCs.
You need them to be able to
entirely player-made.
Take down a pause. I've tried with battleships before they added them, and it takes a while.
Yeah.
We tried on a station, actually.
God, the Conquerable station. So I think I was looking over your shoulder watching you do that at that time.
That was hard work.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, back when UK Corp didn't know what it was doing.
Mm. Are we naming and shaming now?
Yeah, we can name them. The corpse no longer there, and it was before they went off and became part of the successful alliance.
Nah, fair enough.
Any other
interesting graphs?
Yeah, we've got lists of the battleships destroyed per month.
Battleships,
race.
Your battleship's sort of your largest practicable, functional, single-player item, I suppose.
There's two groupings of ships.
Yeah.
Try and guess which race is in the high one and which races are in the low one.
I think lots of Kaldari ships survive. I don't know.
No. The highest number of ships lost are by Kaldari and Galente.
Oh, by Kaldari.
No, are the Kaldari and Galente ships. Lowest losses are on the Amar and Mimitar.
Is that simply because fewer people fly?
Yes, everyone's flying the Kaldari.
Everyone flies
and
the Raven and the Dominix, which will account for most of those, I'd imagine, whereas few people bother with Amar ships or Mimitar. I like the Mimitar ships. I flew a Typhoon for a while. That was pretty good. Good fun ship. Does a bit of everything. Nothing well, and you need a hell of a load of skill points to operate all your subsystems correctly. Yeah,
And I
did enjoy it.
The important thing is, at the turn of this year, Glente went ahead of the Kaldari on the number of ships lost.
Okay, so I guess that's perhaps the dominance of the Dominix, the drone ship there.
Megathron
probably.
And the High...
Typically ships either with drone support or big guns, whereas the Kaldari's more missiles. Was there a big missile nerf?
There was a big missile nerf around there as well, we've also got numbers for interceptors.
Mm-hmm. This is your tackler generally, isn't it? This is the point man on a gate camp who will be targeted first, because if you don't kill him, you can't escape.
In April, over 4,000 interceptors were lost.
Be the Tenaris, I suppose. Yeah.
And basically the same thing. Around January, the Glentay overtook Kaldari, and the other two raiders are less important. Although, back from November, when there was a patch, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
The large number of increases in the losses of interceptors.
Right. So, just general fighting with, again, is that, that's not really factional warfare, is it, specifically?
That's the changes to make the interceptors easier to kill.
Okay. So, yeah, you can see a sort of specific knock-on effect of particular patch measures in the kill stats.
Yeah.
Poor interceptors. Mind you, I've PvP'd against interceptors now and then, and they just cannot be captured or killed unless they make a mistake. That's what I've found, generally, but... yeah, if you want to get that window, spot a lawn mowing.
Thank you, next door neighbour.
Excellent. Well, it's going to get very hot in here now. See the suffering we endure for your benefit, dear listener.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible.
All right, what you got then?
Right, okay, I've got here.
Oh, that's a big, nicely stapled up booklet there.
A manual from our lovely friends at the Goons.
Oh right, yes.
This is the Grid Fru, a practical manual which is how to abuse how the grid works.
I'm just looking at the quality of this manual. It's page set. It's a very professional, presumably PDF. It would have been initially. There's a big bit of cover art there. It's all divided into sections. It's like something you'd find as training materials at a professional company.
I couldn't resist printing it off. It was so nice.
So it's a shame you haven't got a colour laser to do it with. Yeah. Really. It would have been a glorious coffee table item.
Now, this actually
I'm
does...
I'm impressed with the manpower Goons have at their disposal.
This does tell you how... you could exploit the game quite heavily.
Yeah, we're not actually going to tell you any exploits, obviously, because we're the good guys. But
it should be noted that the exploits from it are all bannable, of course, so do not do it, otherwise you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But what they've basically done...
In a circumspect manner, can we describe what's going on here?
This
then?
Is explaining how the area of space around you...
This is your grid, isn't it?
Your grid, how it's generated, how they merge, how they separate.
Do you want to just sort of... to explain perhaps for our non-EVE playing listeners what a grid functionally is then?
Basically, when you're in space, you've got a certain amount of area around you, which you can see.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it from a server point of view, the server needs to sit down and say, I've got to manage what this guy can see, who can see him, so therefore I need to allocate this amount of space for everything to happen.
Sort of perhaps a dynamic instancing thing, then, a way of presenting data to... well, not instancing, because everyone can go there, but each player can only... see a bubble around them.
Look at it as a pocket of space.
Yeah. I mean, player doesn't care what's going on 4 light-years away.
Yeah.
They only care about, what is it, it's about 200 kilometres, 250, 300?
250.
250, somewhere around.
Yeah, and so what it basically says is if you're here and somebody's 250 away and they move to 251, they need to extend the grid, otherwise they're just going to pop out of existence.
They'll disappear, And it does that dynamically as it runs.
Yeah. Okay. And so it makes it bigger and stretches it. And what they're basically showing is when this happens, how you can cause it. There's an example in there of if you're in space and you see a pod 700 kilometres away, you warp in and there's a pod 700 kilometres away, and you burn towards them, there's a point in the middle where this pod will disappear from your view. Because you drop off one grid and into another, and when you go close enough to it, it will pop up again when you go into it.
It's all quite complex, but lavishly illustrated in this document here.
So,
manual.
The fact is they reversed engineered how the server works in this really technical way, and I'm really amazed that they're the minds at work and the Goons and the effort put into this.
So we thoroughly disapprove of exploiting in general, but my God, this has been done in a meticulous and lavish way.
I disapprove of exploiting, but I do at the moment recommend that everyone reads this, because it tells you what's going on and how the game's working. And
if this exploit system presumably is to do with the server architecture itself, how CCP have written the game...
This in itself is not an exploit. This is how the game works.
There's almost no way to correct or change what's in that document without them fundamentally redesigning EVE from scratch.
Yeah.
God. Right. So there you go. Talk about the meta game. Oh, my God.
But fascinating bit of reading there.
Yeah, I always envisage the Goons. You know, James Bond films were Q's lab, and they got loads of blokes in the background with white lab coats on, shooting dummies with rocket launcher stereos and things. And I just imagine the Goons have something like that. That's on a different floor to their vast propaganda department as well. Have you seen some of their propaganda posters?
Oh, yeah.
They're fantastic. That's what happens when you just have like 8 billion players in your alliance. Well, it turns out at least 3 of them are going to be decent graphic designers, you know.
It's most memorable, that document, for the coining of the term WTF space.
WTF space. Phrase of the day. Yeah. Excellent.
Okay.
Mm, moving on then.
Moving on from the goons into the stupid stories of the week.
Yes.
Wow. The goons clear didn't make
that,
it.
Clear to make that distinction there. Mm-hmm.
The goons had a sensible story, it seems. First up.
Yeah.
Jack Thompson.
Oh, it's been a while since we've heard from that
plucky
rogue. He's
threatened the entire Utah legislature with prosecution.
Oh, dear. Is he going to hold his breath until he gets what he wants?
Hopefully.
Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's having a hissy fit that they're no longer responding to his emails after they told him to stop it.
Was that because he was spamming them?
Yeah, and he claims that it's a violation of his free speech.
Yeah, well, that could set a dangerous precedent for spammers everywhere. It would give them a legal recourse to be being blocked.
Good luck for that, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah. Moving on.
Because it's going to have to be looked at by the legislature,
well,
and they're not going to like it. Finally, Ultimate Fighting Challenge thing.
What?
Yeah, the freeform martial arts stuff.
Is it the cage matches and things, is it?
Well, it's in rings now.
Oh, right, whatever.
It's the fastest growing form of mixed martial arts.
Oh, right.
Or full contact fighting.
That's very good.
Yes.
Yes.
one of the fighters, didn't make it into the game. He had to be cut.
Oh, there's a computer game made of it.
This
right.
computer game is currently the biggest selling game in the UK, and I don't know about America.
Oh, right.
Why do you reckon this guy was cut?
Because he wasn't very good?
No.
Because his agent wasn't very good?
Nope,
no idea then.
Because his hair was too big, and it was causing too much problems for their engine with collision detection.
Right, so a guy has hair big enough to cause problems with collision detection, but no problem going into a real fighting ring and wrestling with it.
Do you know the best bit?
Yeah.
They offered him money to cut his hair.
Well, I'm glad that he stood by his principles. Fantastic. Can we ever find a photo of that while I ad lib and fill here?
Okay.
Go on then. You do some clicking on the web there while I ruminate about something or other. So basically this so Ultimate Fighting. Yeah, go on, see it. I need to see this hair. I don't believe you. Here we go. It was YouTube there. UFC 2009 cuts fighter due to hair issues. We're on the game set watch here. Wow. That's... Oh, right.
No, he's just got long hair, that's all.
It's just long hair.
Yeah.
But so presumably it flails about a fair bit when he's wrestling, and they don't have the physics for that yet.
Yeah.
That's very disappointing. I'm sure there must be people with long hair in other games.
I would have taken the opportunity and done a nice model for it. It would have been brilliant.
You'd be writing white papers on hair modelling in video games.
Lara Croft has a ponytail for years.
I think I'd have taken the money, frankly, looking at that photo.
It is a bad haircut.
Actually, this man can probably break both of us with just one thumb.
And
so.
Neither of us have ever been in a position to hold up anyone over haircuts.
Wonderful.
Yes, that'll be the news then. Okay, after many, many weeks' absence.
Yes, I'm so confused.
We got a topic show.
Topic show at last, yes.
Yes, you wanted to have a little rant about something.
Oh, this is me basically ranting at you in the middle of the week and you saying tell it to the show, basically, wasn't it?
If I have to suffer, you lot can.
Yes. Well, okay, right, so there I am. You know, I've got a bit of a gap in my gaming. And, okay, on my PC, I've recently bought a new video card. It was not quite the most cutting edge 9 series Nvidia, but one of the lower 9 series ones. Whatever. It was to deal with some other problems. And also just general keep on the upgrade path, you know, all fine and dandy. Now, on that PC, I had installed a copy of Supreme Commander, which I'd bought and paid for, of course.
Yes.
And I thought, all right, let's see how that looks now, because that can get quite hectic, because that's the one with where you can zoom all the way down to individual troops, and then the world map is still the same engine, because you're zooming all the way
down. Yes, very nice little game,
that. It's very well done, yeah. It's a sort of spiritual successor to Total Annihilation, which is also a very
fun. I have it on the 360, and it works remarkably well on that, RTS game.
Yeah, a very fine RTS. Recommend it to anyone. And I thought, all right, I'll pick that up and have a go, see how my new card's affecting making that work. And I double-click the icon, I get the telltale CD pointer with the little... The mouse pointer turns into a CD with a little triangular arrow with it, and then up pops this bloody great error message offering me the opportunity to send fault details to THQ or Gaspard Games or whoever. Which I think it's Gaspard Games, actually, So I thought, oh, hello, what's going on there? So I thought, all right, I'll try cleaning the disc a bit, put that in. Nope, still nothing. I had the disc in the drive, etc., etc. Did a bit of reading around. Turns out it's our old friend Sekiro-Rom again.
Huzzah!
Yay! So I uninstalled the game and reinstalled it from the discs. Obviously, that's not going to work. But at some point during my upgrade, Sekiro-Rom has decided that since I now have a different graphics card, it's a different PC. So, you know, without trying to get too deeply into philosophical questions about what is the essence of a PC, you know, if you replace all the parts, is it still the same machine? I just sort of, well, I went a bit ballistic, really, started shouting and swearing, and you know, the whole vein in the forehead started to go. This is not the first time I've lost computer games to secure ROM and similar ham-fisted copy protection mechanisms of that ilk. I've got a big old list. I can't think of off the top of my head, but a number of titles, I'd say at least 10, probably more, PC games have just suddenly become inoperable thanks to, and, you know, having managed to positively identify as Secure-ROM or whatever, you know, similar obfuscating copy protection systems. And it makes me cross, it makes me angry. I'm a law-abiding citizen, I've done nothing wrong. I've upgraded my PC, and for that wickedness, I've been punished by having half of my games taken away arbitrarily. Turned out there was a happy resolution to the Supreme Commander incident during the week, where I basically went online, to be honest, I totally wasn't looking for a CD crack. And I ended up finding, actually, that Gaspard Games, out of the goodness of their hearts, during the patch cycle, had actually removed the Secure-ROM from the title. So by following the patches that they themselves had released and issued, I'd worked my way through. It took about, I think it was about 10 to 15 patches. So obviously my copy was an original press, an original CD master of it. Anyway, so about an hour's worth of locating the various patches and applying them, eventually I got the game working again. It now double clicks and goes straight in and plays without any of the little CD mouse pointer. Very annoying, and it just sort of kicked off this massive background fury that I seem to have bubbling away in the back of my mind that about having basically good things I've paid for in good faith taken away from me. I think I might have chipped in on a ranty discussion on Tobold's blog once about it, about how I don't rent games, you know, and he's okay. He's all responded and said, you know, perhaps all games are being rented anyway. You know, has anyone ever read a EULA? That kind of thing. But I don't intend, you know, I don't go out there to rent a PC game. I buy them on the assumption that I'll be able to play them as often as I like, whenever I like. That's the least you can expect from purchasing a computer game, but no. It makes me quite emotional. And then I remembered that I swore I was never going to buy Mass Effect for similar reasons. Dull! Turned out to be quite a good game, so I'm a massive, massive hypocrite myself when it all comes to this. But the sort of crux of the topic really is how much, you know, where do we stand on it all? How much should we be allowing people to get away with? And how much inconvenience is it okay to put up with because the innocent have nothing to hide? Because if you're a law-abiding citizen, you're not going to mind and attempts to prevent piracy, etc., etc. Do you want to talk for a bit? I'm ranting.
I'm going to start off by...
You got some relevant news stories, actually, to go
I'm going to start
this.
Off by mentioning a study by the Strategic Advisory Board for the Intellectual Property. For Intellectual Property, not the.
Okay.
Which has the brilliant acronym of SABIP.
SABIP. Okey-dokey. Yeah.
entitled Copycats, Digital Consumers in the Online Age. Apparently,
yeah.
7 million of us Brits were involved in illegal download of music, movies, software, or games.
Okay, just as a bit of a context, there are in total 60 million Brits, yes. more or less. So that's quite a high percentage, really.
They had a look on one peer-to-peer network in midday on a particular week, and there were 1.3 million users sharing. Of course, that's globally.
A peer-to-peer network doesn't necessarily imply copy protection and piracy. There are legitimate uses for such a network, but
if I was to kick off this app, which is...
We're on the Mac here, but the point will probably still apply. What have we got there?
This is Vooz.
Vooz, okay.
Which I think down the bottom will tell me how many people... Or have they got rid of that in this version?
So what is Vooz? Vooz is basically...
It's a BitTorrent downloader.
BitTorrent.
Which client. I use for legitimate means, of course.
Of course.
Because there's an awful lot of stuff out there is released via BitTorrent now, because it's just so much easier. If you want to release a large video file of what you're working on, graphically... you put it on BitTorrent and everyone shares them out with.
It's a useful mechanism for MMOs as well.
Yeah.
Game clients can be distributed because
WoW uses...
It's the account that's the money maker, not the client.
WoW's patch system is basically it.
I'm sure WoW,
Darkfall, the download of it is it.
Yeah, it's an excellent and high utility alternative to setting up your own single source host, which can get swamped if... Say you've got 13 million accounts all trying to download the patch.
And this
on the
is
same
saying
day.
That there are currently nearly 900,000 users on it.
Okay. And this is a Mac based system.
It's cross platform.
Oh, cross platform. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So nearly a million, yeah.
If anyone knows a better BitTorrent client for the Mac, let me know, because that one is actually a bit big and clunky.
So what are they saying there? They're saying that.
They're basically saying that everyone's pirating stuff.
All file sharing is evil. And is that it?
Well, it's an 80 something page PDF, which, to be honest, I didn't really care enough about to read all the way through.
Enough, yeah, summary though.
Yeah, basically they're just saying that loads of people are sharing and loads of people are pirating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the news item earlier in the show, about
Sims 3, which, despite Secure Rum, is the most pirated game ever.
Interesting. So it has Secure Rum and no one.
No, it doesn't have Secure Rum.
Oh.
They deliberately said we're not going to put it on,
right?
Because customers don't like it.
Yeah.
And
like myself.
Yes, and people pirated it more still.
Yeah.
So I do wonder whether or not the presence of Secure ROM actually affects the number of times it's pirated.
People are going to pirate it anyway, one way or another. Mm.
But although there was another thing over at Ars Technica,
where
they're reporting about how strong copy protection on video games promotes piracy.
Promotes.
Which
do people see it as a challenge? Do they want to stick one to the man?
They mentioned Spore, which was the bad publicity over Secure ROM.
It hurts
everyone
sales.
Going out and
I remember that actually when Spore was just coming out, there was this massive flood of negative reviews on the Amazon page to the point where Amazon had to just scrub the whole review page for it and start again, because people were not really reviewing the game, they were registering their disgust and disapproval at the particular copy protection system involved.
The example they give is, imagine buying a CD that you could only play on a few stereos.
Yeah, and I've been on the sharp end of this is exactly what's happened to me. I've had it happen when I've replaced operating systems. I mean, generally, if you do that anyway, then most of your games need to be reinstalled. I've had it, certainly, if you alter the memory. I mean, the video card or the hard disk is generally another one as well. I don't know how Securom really works, to be honest, but...
Nastily, it installs itself at a low level in Windows. And
just monitors any change and shouts.
It sits
a lot
there
if it
between the API and the DVD driver and ensues that the information is correct.
Yeah, well, if it's not that, it'll be something else. I mean, it's not so much the mechanism specifically, although I find that does really upset and annoy me the way it does it. It basically steals my stuff. You know, it's tantamount to someone breaking into my flat and helping themselves to some of my computer games and then running away giggling. No, it's tantamount to the person who sold me the item doing that, which is really sort of galls. I'm just fed up with losing games. I mean, the Supreme Commander incident, as I'm starting to call it, was luckily resolved through the good graces of Gas Powered Games, who, sometime after the initial sales buzz died down, decided to patch the copy protection out, I suppose. But
the big question is how...
And I had it start working again, purely because I followed the patch system through. Yeah. How many other people do that?
Big question is, how much damage is piracy actually doing?
Mm.
The PC Gaming Alliance reckons that the size of the PC gaming industry in 2008 was $11 billion worldwide,
okay.
Which is about the same as the console market.
Right, okay, yeah.
But the console market that has very little piracy outside of the PSP,
right,
which has quite a lot.
Using this as more ammunition in your Tim, you should get a 360
well,
argument.
All
is this PC a problem of the PC and a reason
yes.
why PC gaming should die?
No, this is a problem of the PC because the PC is too flexible.
Mm.
There is heavy DRM on the PS3, the Wii, and the 360.
Yeah.
But
you're not changing your platform configuration.
No bit of hardware, the DRM never goes wrong.
Right.
Or should never go wrong. I haven't actually heard of it go wrong.
Well, yeah.
So, they've got a encryption key inside. Stuff on the disc is encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, it'll play back. Works fine.
Right. So does this mean that when you're sat down and you're deciding to develop a computer game in your big, game dev startup, are you going to shy away from the PC because of these problems? You're going to want to develop for a platform where you know you'll get all of the money that's owed to you.
There's probably a quite big incentive to do that. Yeah.
So this could be killing PC gaming, the whole piracy of it all, which is the argument people use when they start putting these ham-fisted techniques in. Is it not just that we're looking for a better way?
I think we are looking for a better way.
I blame Securum for a lot. Perhaps in some instances, it's not Securum's fault.
When it comes down to it, if we're honest about it, people are going to pirate. People will want, if they can get it for free, they will take it.
We had
for free.
A story not so long ago on this show about World of Goo, wasn't it? And we had it was something ridiculous, like 80% of all online registered high scores were coming from copied, from pirated versions of the game. It's an amusing and interesting statistic to feature to add into your online reporting tools, but why wouldn't you? Yeah.
So the question is, what can we do about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but then I counter that with the whole Sins of a Solar Empire thing. I remember when that came out, they said, we're not going. They deliberately went out of their way to make a big thing of, oh, we've not put DRM in here. There's no copy protection.
Yeah.
Just please be honest. And they saw they went quite high in the game sales charts. I forget the exact number.
And when the last Stardock game came out, the servers crashed on just before launch or on the days of launch because there was too many pirated versions.
So this was this one instance where the PR had been managed very well. And they just used the whole piracy thing as a sales tool. We're groovy about you. We respect your rights. And they used that as a method of sales.
But
it worked in that instance, but in general, sold nothing.
In general, if you give the players that amount of responsibility, they're still going to steal it because they can.
Yeah. So I suppose there is a need for some sort of copy protection.
Unfortunately, there is. Now, MMOs have it spot on.
Mm, yes.
They have the world's best DRM.
I've never had a DRM problem with an MMO.
Basically, by requiring username, password, login, and an account, the only way to pirate it is to grab a homegrown server and run on that, which are never as good.
Well, I mean, strictly speaking, you can pirate any MMO client as much as you like. It won't do you any good unless you've got a login.
Yeah, and in fact, most MMO clients are available for free download.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, sometimes they charge you for the client, but
Yeah, but they charge you for the initial account.
Yes, which will then cover the cost of the client. Yeah, yeah. So clearly MMOs are the way to go for PC gaming, but it still doesn't prevent me from being really, really quite cross when this sort of stuff goes wrong with my games that I thought I owned and thought I could use whenever I liked.
Now, I did in fact use this as the argument that console gaming is the way forward.
Yeah, it's another ongoing rant, another argument that we had during the week, which I'm sure we'll come back to in another topic show, which is basically that, Tim, you should abandon your PC and go completely console. But,
yes.
What about the MMOs? Which was the argument I used back.
Ah, but when I said that, I didn't know that they were bringing champions out this year, which completely validates the they may actually happen argument.
Yes, I think we're drifting away from the main topic here, I think, a bit. But what about Steam?
What about Steam?
How's Steam?
I hate Steam.
You hate Steam?
Yes, because they cancelled. I didn't use my account for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And so you're having specific billing problems.
Then they went and blocked it, saying that it had been used fraudulently and wouldn't let me recover any of my games.
Because a lot of people hold Steam up as an example of PC copy protection done right, I suppose.
Yeah, but the appeal thing on when your account's rejected is a little harsh, which I guess the MMOs have as well.
Yeah.
But it does give you the client-server check.
I mean, they basically invented the thing to prevent Half-Life 2 being copied left, right, centre into oblivion and bankrupting them.
Yeah.
They basically rolled it out with Half-Life 2.
There are hacked versions of all the Steam games.
I remember at the time, this is going way back now, Half-Life 2 is quite an old game, but there was news stories about people within about 72 hours or something ridiculous having cracked it and was just, yeah, there were copies out there.
I don't think the value of Steam is in copy protection. The value of Steam is in the marketplace.
It's the shop as well.
Yeah. So I don't think Steam actually helps that much on the piracy, because you can just buy them.
There are going to be people of a technically superior skilled bent who will just crack stuff because it's fun and a game in itself, I suppose.
No matter how...
And then they'll put the stuff online because they want to show off how clever they are, and everyone else will help themselves to it.
No matter how clever you are as a developer, there will always be somebody out there who is cleverer and has more free time to try and crack your system than you've had to implement it.
Is there mileage in the whole Steam phenomenon where we've seen where they're reducing the price of the games for special deals? Like every
They'll
do quarter price something or other for a week.
Well, if for every
loads
game,
of people will go and buy it. Does that not suggest that perhaps one reason people are looking to the dark arts to get their gaming for free is because the gaming is too expensive?
Every game that's £50, there's going to be a load of people who don't want to pay that much, and we'll wait for it to come out later. You rarely buy a current game, do you?
To be fair, I do wait for the 3 for £10 budget re-release on PC games. I don't generally buy anything new. I mean, I'm not sure if it's even a 3-month rule on single player games, to be honest, and I know they're not going to be patched or fixed, but I will go for the cheaper gaming, I suppose. You get more for your buck, but then does that not lead to thoughts that, well, some people just never want to pay for a game and would never pay anything at all, even if it were, even, you know.
No, there's always going to be some people who will never pay, even if it's 99p. But I
suppose the argument being there that pirates are just, they're not lost sales because they were never going to buy it in the first place. I mean, that's sort of a counter argument you often see against CRM.
That's a difficult argument because you can never actually validate that.
You never know what might have happened, no. But clearly these games, with the increased spiralling budgets, $50 million to make a... Is that an MMO or just a game in general? Or that
Spore,
kind of ballpark,
Spore cost 53, I think.
$53 million. And you got to make that back in sales somehow. Yeah, and if everyone's going to pirate that thing, then the company
Spore's
goes bankrupt,
really bad
there will
example,
be no more
actually,
games.
Because they spent way too much money making that game.
Well, is that... No, is perhaps it's a good example. Is that not the case? Are people just spending too much money on games? Big name voiceovers, huge elaborate cinematics and rendered cutscenes.
Well, I don't think the big voiceovers and the rendered cutscenes add to the cost. It's the time spent developing.
Bigger and bigger teams taking longer and longer to put these things together.
Well, take Duke Nukem.
As the indie game.
How many copies would they have had to sell to pay off Duke Nukem Forever?
They were going for years and years. I think it had gotten to a point where it was never going to work some years ago. But yeah, even so. Yeah.
So why did they keep trying to develop it beyond the point where they passed? At this point, sending any more money, it is just wasted money. It is not ever going to come back.
Is the future of game development then, through ravages of piracy, going to be the indies? The little teams
No.
who can throw a game together for less than
$100,000? I think it's going to be the middleware.
The middleware?
Yeah. You buy in your engine, slap a game on it, get out. Unity is a good example.
By reducing costs, you then no longer need to charge as much, which then...
Well, no, you can charge the same amount, but you don't need to reduce the cost of the price of the software. You just need to make it so it didn't cost anywhere near as much to release.
Mm.
So if you only spend a year developing something instead of 4 years, then you only need to make a fourth of the cash back.
Then perhaps in pragmatic terms, you can afford to absorb a certain amount of lost piracy revenue. I mean, in retail chains have this concept of shrinkage, don't they? Which is basically, yes... In theory, there should be zero shoplifting, but...
In reality,
they have to actually, you know, even budget in to lose a certain amount of items by theft.
Yeah.
Perhaps a pragmatic way... I mean, it's obviously I'm not trying to excuse software pirates here, but, you know, in the real world, you're going to have to, figure in how much you're going to lose through piracy as part of the business model, part of the business plan. And then if that then means you need to make the game for less but still charge the same price to those people who are willing to be honest and toe the line. Difficult stuff.
Yeah,
so, I mean, fortunately, in this particular DRM case, I managed to continue to play the game I wanted to play that I thought I'd paid for and owned, largely by the good graces of the very company that developed it. Realising the DRM was only really necessary for the first big sales rush, and then stepping back from it, perhaps because it was just causing them so many technical problems. You know, for every person like me who comes up against a legitimate error message on a system where I hadn't actually pirated anything, they're going to send error reports. A certain percentage of them will cause the company a lot of hassle.
Yeah,
and hassle you could do without if you're taking your sales support seriously. Perhaps there is a case to be removing DRM into the product's life as it goes on. Who knows?
Yeah.
So yes, not a happy man this week, but it all resolved itself in the end. But I worry about the next time, and it does affect my buying.
Yeah.
I mean, I waited ages for Mass Effect, mostly because I saw it on a deal and caved in a massive hypocritical fashion. But I did deliberately go out of my way not to buy Spore, not to buy Mass Effect, because I thought there would be trouble.
Mm.
I don't want to buy a game and then have it just sort of vanish like the morning mist sort of 3 or 4 months in when I alter my PC configuration. And it does inform my sales choices. So it is costing people money.
You should buy a console.
I should probably buy a console.
Anyway, should we move on to the Twitter question? Since we just decided that gaming is dead.
Yes, PC gaming is dead, and probably console gaming not that far behind it. All right, let's, yeah, if you want to bring up the old thing, pass me the controls. Set the controls for Twitter. Scroll. I can't even find it. It's got square brackets. I put square brackets in so I can spot it in the list. See, there we go. Podcast queue. Lots of MMO delays of late. Yeah, there have been, haven't there? There's Champions, yeah. Jumpgate was another one.
Yeah, poor Jumpgate.
Yeah, I
definitely sort of, delayed.
Yeah, I sort of. One place to check for upcoming releases is Massively, and they got a little sidebar there showing their launch date calendar just on the side there. And it's just fascinating watching each item move further and further back. And I think, according to them, the nearest thing is Q2 2009 for Fallen Earth. I actually went and had a look. I had a look on their FAQ. The FAQ says it will be ready when it's ready, which is a typically mealy-mouth, but increasingly pragmatic and widely held view. The forums on Fallen Earth, I don't really know a lot about Fallen Earth. I was purely looking at it as what's the next MMO and when's it out. And a lot of the fans there seem confident it's 2009 Q2, but we're reaching the end of Q2, yeah. Which is basically what? April through to June, is it? Q2?
So
the second 3 months of the year.
You'd expect it to be out by summer. So.
Yeah, so I reckon we could be not seeing Q2 for Fallen Earth there, but we'll have to wait and see. Just seems that. Increasingly prevalent attitude. It's that, well, we're not ready, but we think we'll take the moral high ground by being strong and not releasing it until it's ready.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but so I then go on to ask, which new MMOs are you waiting for and how patient are you? The idea of the patience here being basically, yeah, how many delays are you happy to put up with before you start getting cross, I don't want to use the word fanboy, but anticipation of a new game gets to be quite frustrating in itself. Eventually, will they lose your interest? Do you go off the boil? The whole hype machine and PR of a new game launch is a very, very delicate art, and you've got to get the timing precisely right, and too many delays can let the hype dissipate and fizzle away. So let's have a look then. Anginim, only looking forward to Champions. I have plenty of games to tide me over until they get it right. So clearly a clear patient man there. Not in too much of a hurry. That's Spaz Aggro. Gathering and not very. Gathering is your steampunk Victoriana kind of game. Apparently got quite a lot of crafting element to it. I'm not sure about much else of the details.
There was a bunch of stuff about it I heard this week, but I don't remember if I've been able to tell anyone about it, so I'm not going to.
Oh, this is insider stuff, as maybe. A journalist. Yeah. And Love looks great. Yeah, Love. I've seen stuff about it. It looks quite high concept. I'm not quite sure what
generated,
it is.
Very good looking, massively low budget.
Yeah, sort of almost indie MMO, I suppose.
It's going to flop because it's going to be far too different than what people expect.
It's not going to have hotkeys. It's not going to have auto attacks or combos. And I think it's not going to have magic missiles and orcs. So perhaps might not. Looking for a niche there, I expect. Aeon is nice, he then also goes on to say. Not patient on any of them. Yeah, it's Bo Turkey there. Quite an enthusiastic gamer. Let's see. Cisco. Jumpgate is the only one I'm eager to see. With all the games avail, I'm much more patient now.
Well, all I can say is that's lucky with Jumpgate.
Yeah, lucky and patient there. Well, is this the sort of thing that as you go through a few of these hype cycles, you become more and more patient, perhaps zen-like, or maybe the word is fatalistic, I don't know. But when this happens enough times to you, do you just end up with a kind of, I think I certainly have, I've reached a kind of almost zen-like, well, whenever it shows up, I'll have a look kind of thing. And yeah. even then, I've taken this zen to the point where I actually extend the delay myself for another 3 months with just to be sure, just to make sure they get it really right. Kiris Kadachi, Star Wars The Old Republic. Yeah, so we saw a lot of answers here. They're looking for The Old Republic. I can wait as long as Eve keeps me busy, which apparently is forever so far. I think anyone whose Twitter picture is a picture of their Eve character, I think, you know, that's definitely a dedicated Eve player. But this, the 40k MMO, just to see what they do with it. I waited for War for years, so I can be patient.
God, the 40k MMO is going to be bad.
They're
going to miss the point so badly.
I think we could get a whole topic out of that at some point. Eric's Joe, haven't seen anything that looks even remotely interesting on the horizon. And he's done an unsmiley face there. So, yeah. I don't know, lean times? What about yourself? Are you looking forward to anything then, particularly?
Yes, I am.
Yeah?
I'll speak at the end.
All right, well, I'll ask you then. Dr. Torag, DCUO, and I can wait forever. It looks promising, though. Agency, maybe. Want to be James Bond. Yeah, so the agency and DCUO there, so I'm getting some votes.
Yeah.
Uber Sandman, Dead Sons, and I'm very patient. I'm not even sure what Dead Sons is.
Oh, it's a time travelling MMO.
Right, oh, fair enough.
Heavily under NDA, so I can't say too much.
Okay, quite niche. Ackley, waiting for EQ3 or a sci-fi MMO set in Peter F. Hamilton's Night's Dawn setting. I've not read any of that. That would totally rock. Patience, who is that? And we've got Zonk, aside from DCUO. Yeah, I think he's got to say that, really.
Yeah, he has.
Only game I'm waiting for is SWTOR. Are we not supposed to call it SWTOR anymore? Bad, it's TOR. When I learn their release date, I'm quitting MMOs to get myself ramped up. Wow.
Still not convinced it's going to be an MMO.
Putting all your expectations in one basket there, I think. Let's see. Book Doctor, Star Trek Online. Yep, it's another one that people are looking forward to coming soonish sort of thing. I'd rather be patient and get a good product. Developers need not rush. Yeah, I think that's a mature and wise view there that it's increasingly prevalent. You see a lot less rage when these delays come up. I mean, I remember a time sort of back around the, I think when Horizons was being announced, that and people would just go ballistic at the first sign of any, you know, even like a fortnight late on the release and launch dates. But nowadays people seem more philosophical, more mature, I suppose. I don't know, it's all good. Gothwalk, following SWTOR news with interest and the Star Trek game. Try not to get more than ankle deep in the hype wave, though. Yeah,
that's always a good advice.
Yeah, well, it comes of being washed out to sea by far too many hype waves in the past, I think. Yes, each successive one leaves less of an impact on you, I guess. Tepotastic, I would kill for SWTOR. I really would. Is that an XD? That's like a sort of smiley face type of thing. Okay. Other than that, it's all about the 40k MMO. I've got plenty to tide me over. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're content with the games that you're currently playing, there's obviously less of a restlessness. I think a lot of anticipation for the next thing is very much a moving away from rather than a moving to. You know, I mean, if the games you're playing at the moment are losing their hold and sparkle, then obviously, yeah, whatever's coming next will be better. Paradiso, DCO, Star Trek Online. Yeah, some good ones there. unrelated comment from Gothwalk here. Van Hemlock and John Shute, say set of badges. I hear set of badges. Too much Springwatch. Yeah, set of badges.
Set of badges.
Set of badges.
Set of badges.
Set of badges. What? Badger. Asgard, just waiting for Guild Wars 2 here, and without a firm release date in the original Guild Wars, I'm fine. Would rather be ready than rushed. Yeah, I mean, it's part of the Tuesday New Club there, and a long follower of Guild Wars.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, we're sort of looking forward to Guild Wars 2 with guarded in anticipation, I suppose. We want to know more about the specifics, I think, before we get excited. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the talk we've seen so far does suggest that they think that moving away from Guild Wars into a more normal MMO is a good thing. I don't know about that myself. Zozo, I'm waiting for Godot, the MMO. Might be a while. That's probably quite funny and witty, but I don't understand the reference.
It's a play.
I think I've heard it. Yeah. Oh, well. Next week. Melmathulu, really want to see what CCP's World of Darkness MMO is all about. So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned last week, I mean, I'm not sure CCP's area of expertise is the standard run around hit people with swords MMO.
I'm not sure it will be a standard run
around hit people with swords. And perhaps they'll come out with something completely left field there, but at the moment we don't really know a lot about it at all. Other than that, I'm waiting for ADD Online, and now I'm not. we got there. Arbitrary Genius, World of Darkness, yeah, another one there. Possibly Swatter, whatever Blizzard announce, yeah. Shuttler, Champions, although not sure why, when a perfectly good superhero MMO exists already. Yeah, I see him.
Hedging his bets there.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of...
New,
lot of,
shiny.
Well, it's... Yeah, a lot of people saying that Champions Online... Of course, no one that I know that's breaking NDA at all.
No.
And is not, totally not saying that it's basically City of Heroes 2.
So, yeah.
Interesting angle to see if people are going to go for it. They're happy to abandon what they already have in City. Because you remember, City of Heroes is an old, old game, and the people that are still there these days are not people who follow the new shiny.
Yeah.
So will they be impressed at all with a new shiny? We'll have to wait and see, I guess. Rugoff 31, MMO I'm waiting for, the Old Republic, Jumpgate Evolution, Star Trek Online, APB. No more fantasy MMOs, he says with an exclamation mark.
I can get behind that.
I know, yeah, I get a bit like that myself a lot of the time. I don't want to rant off the big old anecdote about how I never came here looking for a fantasy MMO, but, you know, I mean, suffice to say that my first online experience was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, so there you go. There we got there. St. Mistaken, 40k online. Yeah, another Warhammer 40k vote there. Mostly Fearful, happy to wait. Vlong. Buffy, sorry, I mean, what's that? Enwood Online. Is that World of Darkness?
Yeah.
What's the little N mean?
Don't know.
typo, perhaps. CCP fanboy interest. Want info now. Yeah, so some more people looking to see what World of Darkness is all about. Oh, it's Depo again. Actually really don't want World of Darkness MMO to be made. Have had some great times with PNP system. MMO won't do it justice. Yeah, of course, World of Darkness being based on is it Vampire the Masquerade?
That entire range
Mage,
of products.
The whatever, and Werewolf, the something else.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a whole range that all interact in
and
the
Bob
same...
And the Builder.
Bob the Builder. You'd be dying to get that in, haven't you?
Yeah.
Look at you, all smug over there. It's a massively well detailed and quite highly respected pen and paper gaming setting. So, an MMO has the capacity to do a real hatchet job on it and upset a lot of people. So, remains to be seen actually to what that will be like. Zenti, in the short term, Jumpgate Evo and Star Wars Tour. Sadly, I've become numb to MMO delays. Well, yeah, is it patience or is it numbness? Do we just simply not care anymore?
It's just disbelief.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be out. No, it's not.
It's one thing to be benevolently nodding your head and saying, that's okay, you guys take as long as you like, and quite another to be saying, well, whatever.
I'm not sure I believe a release date when I'm holding the box anymore.
Well, yeah, I think I might be tending toward the numb somewhat myself, yeah. Custodian V131, Star Wars Old Republic, hoping it will be a good sci-fi MMO. Very patient, just need a sci-fi fix alongside Lotro's fantasy. Yeah, I think if you like your swords and sorcery, there's plenty out there for you at the moment. But, yeah, not so much in the way of sci-fi. I mean, Anarchy Online, still going, just about. Tabula Rasa, gone. Not a lot else, really. EVE Online, but that's more about spaceships rather than a ground game about sci-fi concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what their ambulation adds to it, but probably not an awful lot in terms of gameplay.
No, it's mainly fluff. Socialising.
It is socialising, yeah. And we got Max Castillo. Yep, another sweater there. Has caught my eye like nothing else. Hopefully it will be the one in capitals to finally pull me away from WoW. Ooh. Interesting.
I predict
when a well-made Star Wars game goes up against World of Warcraft, yeah. A lot of people seem to forget Star Wars Galaxies for some reason.
Therapy.
Delays only mean a better game at release, hopefully. Got WoW and Lotro. It's only $10 for the entire game, so I'm good for now. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Lotro doing a cheap old deal at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
With the lowered subscription and stuff. Pez Psycho, looking forward to Champions, got bored of waiting, and I'm now fooling about on Second Life. Well, there are two very similar game concepts for you. There's lots of interesting things to do and see in Second Life, almost some of which are not porn.
Yeah.
So, in general, there are lots of people, I think, yeah, quite patient kind of bunch, really.
Yeah.
There's a couple of exceptions. Swota, of course, being probably, I suppose, in a straw poll of all of those, I think, yeah. the old Republic going to be the big one everyone's looking at?
I'd have to say, when it comes down to it, SWTOR is the one that I'm least looking forward to.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
I'm fed up with Star Wars.
And I've always... You think that the overexposure of the three more recent films not being quite what you remember, and perhaps Star Wars Galaxies, you're just a bit fed up with it all?
I'm completely fed up with it, and we've had enough, they just stopped making any.
What about the old Republic angle, though? Kota angle.
Never liked the Kota angle. It seemed like cheating to me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and the
put
world,
it so far back that we don't have to deal with any
and
of
the world never seemed as interesting.
Mm-hmm. It seemed a good, interesting, well-realised pseudo-fantasy world.
But it always seemed just like it was the quote-unquote modern Star Wars world, but slightly changed to make it look a bit older.
Yeah.
It never
really
felt like it was anything separate to me.
Mm, fair enough.
But the games I am looking forward to, bizarrely, Star Trek Online.
Star Trek Online?
Don't know why.
It's just to see, just to sort of stare open mouthed at what happens when you let that many players have a go at that kind of cannon.
I actually have a probably very naive hope that it's going to be a good game.
It attracts a lot of role players, you think?
No.
People min-maxing their way onto the Enterprise Bridge.
And beyond that, I'd have to say the Agency and APB. Mm. I want to see what this new generation of less level-dependent games that are designed to be made for consoles, which I think will improve them combat-wise.
Are we not seeing perhaps the early incarnation of that sort of movement with Free Realms, perhaps?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm not actually looking forward to anything at all. That sounds really dismal and quite pathetic, really. But it's not so much I'm not looking forward to something. It's I'm quite content with what I've got. I'm enjoying the games I'm currently playing, and I'm in no real hurry to jump ship just for the next thing, just to see. I mean, I'll be interested to see what comes next and how these things, from an academic perspective, I suppose, how the games change and where the future of the genre is going with these new titles and so on. But in terms of actual, bouncing around joyful anticipation of something I really care about, I'm having trouble with the current future.
That's a good
titles.
Point, actually, because going by my levelling...
Nothing's lit my flame, as it were.
Going by my levelling in LOTRO, I'm going to be there for at least another 6 months, possibly a year. Eve's going nowhere.
You don't tend to run out of Eve. You run out of your own drives in Eve.
So anything I'm after, it tends to be the console-y ones, because they're stuff I know will be little drop-in ones I can have a play at when I feel like it.
Mm-hmm. And as for my patience, I suppose if I'm not looking forward to anything, I can't be disappointed. So I have an infinite amount of patience and zero interest in anything coming. So
I have a zero amount of patience, but also zero faith in anything a developer says. So they basically equivalents of infinite patience.
So there you go, the Twitter question this week. Thanks again for taking part, and we'll see you again next week. So, what have you learned this week?
I've learned that it is a mistake to think that you can solve any major problems through potatoes alone.
I know where you got that from as well. And I've forgotten to think of something again. I'm sorry.
Did you use potatoes to try and do
it? I learned that potatoes can be used to solve some problems. Mostly food-related ones.
Yes.
And on that note, I'll see you next time.
Goodbye.